Good morning. Let me just pray before we start. Heavenly Father, how amazing it is to know that there is no darkness in Jesus. God, we praise you for Jesus, for the beauty and the righteousness and the joy of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would, even this morning, right now, use the frailty of these human words on paper, that you'd use the weakness of my own human flesh, and that the light of Jesus would shine through it all, Lord. We need your help this morning. Give us ears and hearts that are willing to hear. Give me strength and courage to speak what you've given. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just start by reading our passage for today. Matthew 5, verse 6. I've had fears that I prepared for the wrong beatitude, but we're all good. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed, satisfied. They're the bookends of this beatitude, and they're something every human heart longs for. We can pursue relationships, money, material things, power, success, pleasure, all in hopes that they will deliver this. Blessed, satisfied. We want this happiness, so we listen to the voices around us that tell us that more means better. We want to feel good, so we do what feels good. And at the end of every earthly pursuit, that longing, blessed, satisfied, remains. C.S. Lewis said, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in the world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." I wonder what you desire. If you were at the women's retreat this weekend, you have a head start in thinking about that question, don't you? We thought a lot about longing and desires and bringing them before the Lord. What do you desire? Sure, there are surface level desires. Chipotle for lunch. The heat turned up. A quiet night in. And beneath those are deeper ones even. To be known. Peace in this world. The list of human desires could fill volumes, and yet only serve to reveal that the deepest longing actually reaches out of this physical world. It's a longing that cries for the satisfaction of another world, another kingdom, because we live in a world that is not as it should be. We live in bodies and with hearts that are not as they should be. At the root of these desires is this problem we have with sin, both within us and around us. But Jesus' words in Matthew 5, 6 offer hope of that deepest longing, blessed, satisfied, fulfilled. They hold out the promise of blessing and satisfaction in its fullest sense. And as with every aspect of the kingdom of God that we've seen so far, it's unnatural. It's not the narrative that the world tells us, and it's not where our own hearts will lead us. Left to ourselves, life will numb us into thinking that true happiness, blessing, satisfaction can be ours. We just have to satiate all these lesser longings. It's the lie that Eve believed in the garden. My way is best. My desires will give me what I want. But only life God's way will leave us satisfied. It was true in the garden, and it's true now. This fourth beatitude, this fourth mark of kingdom living, exposes the upside-down reality that it's not our desires that bring satisfaction, but the desire to live for God. Only life God's way will leave us satisfied. For the past 5 weeks, we've heard about how Jesus uses the beatitudes and its greater context in the Sermon on the Mount to teach his disciples about the way of his kingdom. He's explaining that the life of the true Christian is the blessed, happy, good life. He's coloring in this portrait of a kingdom disciple, and each week it's getting a little bit clearer. We've already seen that it begins with a heart that finds itself in utter spiritual poverty before God. Right? It's those who mourn over their sin, who don't grasp for self but yield their will to the Lord. Those first three Beatitudes had us all looking inward and emptying ourselves. Today we begin to pivot. Look at the three Beatitudes that follow ours. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. We're moving to see that a true Christian is marked by a life that is filled with godliness in these ways. Someone whose life images their king. And so I would think that our Beatitude would read today, blessed are the righteous, for they shall be satisfied. But we're not done with the heart yet. Before Jesus gets to the outworking of kingdom life, he zeroes in on our appetite. Being emptied of self, before we can begin to be filled with good works, we must long for a heart that aligns with God's heart. We must hunger and thirst for what God says is good and true. Because we will begin to live rightly once we begin to hunger rightly. Kingdom living will flow out of a new hunger. With five small children, the words, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty, are used approximately 347 times a day in my house. And you would think we don't feed them. I promise we do. But I wonder if we read hunger and thirst and understand them the way that Jesus meant them. It's not a casual want, but a desperate need. It's not a fleeting thought, but an all-consuming longing. It's not a three times a day ritual, but a painful pursuit. I wonder if he had in his mind the hunger he experienced just one chapter earlier when he went 40 days without food in the wilderness. There, Matthew uses the same word to say Jesus was hungry. Jesus' concern is with our appetite, and he says that kingdom people are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're to desperately desire it, to be totally consumed with seeking it. Jesus' new kingdom commands a new hunger. It's a hunger for righteousness. Now, we need to stop for a moment, because righteousness is kind of one of those loaded theological terms, isn't it? But listen to this definition. The quality, righteousness, being the quality of being morally right and without sin. One of God's distinctive attributes. It means being like God. All right and no wrong. Psalm 119:137 says, righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. Righteousness is living according to God's perfect standard. And it's used in different places in Scripture to emphasize different things. We are made righteous when we come to faith in Christ Jesus. God no longer sees our sin, but he sees the perfect obedience of his Son. Righteousness is to be seen as right before God in this positional sense. It's not our own doing, but holy Christ's. That's one aspect of righteousness. And while it's true of real disciples, I don't think that's the emphasis Jesus has in mind here. If you read through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find righteousness pop up a handful of times. And each time it does, it's connected to right conduct. In Matthew's gospel, to be righteous is to live God's way, to act in accord with the rules and heart of God. It's to be without sin and to abound in obedience to God's law. It's this active righteousness that I think Jesus is talking about in verse 6. It's where his focus turns even in those next three Beatitudes, specific ways of living that image the perfect character of God, full of mercy, purity, and peace. Do you want it in a word? Yes. To be righteous is to live like Jesus. Because he is God's character perfectly imaged, God's heart in flesh, in his thinking, in his speaking, in his living. There was no trace of sin. Instead, the whole of his life was lived in perfect obedience to his Father. The world and our own foolish selves will tell us that satisfaction comes from feeling good, from having more, even maybe from doing more. You do you. That's how you're going to feel blessed. But it's not feeding your lesser longings that will bring satisfaction. It's a new, holy hunger, a heart that perfectly beats with God's. It's what we were created for. Jesus says blessing, satisfaction, comes with a hunger for righteousness, a desperate desire to live God's way, a hunger for righteousness, to ache to be like God, free from all sin and abounding in all good, a hunger for righteousness, to want to no longer be plagued by perversion, but only painfully pursue what is holy. Is this your appetite? I like the idea of living God's way. And I love the thought of the world being marked by mercy and peace. But do I hunger? Do you hunger and thirst for that righteousness within you? Are you content to let sin remain? Or will you painfully pursue putting it to death? Because claiming Christ and feeding an appetite of lust or envy or jealousy is missing the call of his kingdom. How easy it is to gorge ourselves on pleasure and comfort, to feed the desires of our flesh in what we read, in what we watch, in what we think about, in what we do with our bodies. If Jesus is your king, you've been transferred to a new kingdom, and with it comes a new appetite, a new hunger. It's not enough to be counted righteous before God because of the work of Christ and then sit content living in the shackles of the sin he has freed us from. You have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus if you are part of God's kingdom. He has cleansed you from every sin and given us his perfect obedience. God looks at you and he says, "You can be in relationship with me." This new hunger means that we start longing for those clothes to fit us. We're no longer wanting to harbor the dirt of sin underneath the beauty of Christ. When we have tasted the goodness of God, the satisfaction of his ways, we will not be content until his righteous rule has penetrated every corner of our darkened heart. I wonder today if you, like me, need to check your appetite. What are we feeding ourselves? Do we say we long to be like God and then indulge in a steady diet of self? Only living God's way will leave us satisfied. Is that what we really want? We may want to obey him, but wonder why it feels so hard to do what's right. Could it be that we've been feeding our flesh instead of feasting on righteousness? We are what we eat. What are you eating? What appetites are you cultivating? Disciples of Jesus will hunger and thirst for righteousness to rule in every part of their own lives. And not just in their lives, but in the world. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness in the world around you? Are you sad about the news and the war in Ukraine? Or is there a painful longing for peace? Are you apathetic about the evil around us? Or does your heart burn for justice? Claiming Christ and having faith that only concerns itself with me and God is missing the call of the kingdom. We care because God cares. We ache and we burn because God's heart aches and burns. It can be easy to pursue life in the kingdom of God like we're the only citizen, to turn a blind eye to oppression, to numb ourselves to the plight of others. But if Jesus is your king, you've been transferred to a new kingdom. And a new kingdom comes with a new hunger. It isn't enough to find yourself positionally righteous before God and then not care that his good and righteous rule would penetrate every corner of our darkened world. Oppression should break us. Devaluing of life should cause us to mourn. Racism should grieve us. This is God's heart. Is it ours? This is a spiritual hunger. So we need to ask the Spirit for help. This isn't our natural hunger. We need to ask for a heart that aligns with God, to ask for priorities that align with him, to ask for ongoing knowledge of our own sin so that we can bring it to light. It's so unnatural. And the best place to start is to start praying for it. We could learn from the Puritans in this. I love this prayer. It says, "My dear Lord, I long for nothing but you. Nothing but holiness. Nothing but union with your will. You have given me these desires, and you alone can give me the things desired. Lord, give me more of your likeness. Enlarge my soul to contain the fullness of holiness. Engage me to live more for you. Blessed Lord, let me climb up near to you and love and long and plead and wrestle with you and pant for deliverance from this body of sin. Wrap my life in divine love and keep me ever desiring you, always humble and resigned to your will, more fixed on you." Do we pray for this new hunger? He will answer these cries. He will fill you. As we grow in appetite for righteousness, we will find the satisfaction that Jesus promises. The word satisfaction that Matthew uses here is a sense of fullness. It's used later in Matthew each time Jesus feeds crowds of people. The food leaves them satisfied. This kind of hunger, a hunger for all to be right within us and around us, Jesus said God will fill. As we grow our appetite for righteousness, the Spirit will help us fight sin and empower our obedience. He will fill us. God will help us to live rightly before him. There is a present satisfaction in knowing that God delights when his people look like him in the world. There's a present satisfaction in seeing God grant us victory over sin. There is a real present satisfaction in seeing light shine in and through us. As we live God's way, he will fill us. And while this satisfaction is now, it's also only partial. We will never be fully rid of sin while we're stuck in mortal flesh. The world will never be without wrong while the devil is still allowed to exercise power. The promise of satisfaction finds partial fulfillment now. But more than that, it holds out the hope of the complete fulfillment that is to come. Our study took us there, 2 Peter 3:13. According to his, God's promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. While the hunger of the Christian finds partial satisfaction now in living God's way, the hunger for righteousness is really a hunger for heaven, for our new home. The king who sat on the mountainside and spoke these blessings will come again. The one who lived and modeled perfect righteousness, no trace of sin, perfect obedience. He's the one who's been given all authority. He announced his kingdom on that mountainside, but when he comes again, it will be to usher it in completely. His coming rule will finally and completely set all things right. God's version of right. Because the righteous one will reign. When he comes again, sin will be vanquished forever. Can you imagine? No more corners of your heart that harbor sin. No more shadows where there are perverted desires. No more corners of the earth that are plagued by war and injustice. No more. It is coming. His good and perfect rule is coming. A new heavens and a new earth full of righteousness is coming. The completion of his work in our very hearts is coming. Earth's hunger is for self, pleasure, maybe even man-made morality. But kingdom people, their hunger is for righteousness. For the presence of sin to be no more, both inside me and around me. And kingdom living now is growing my longing for God's right rule to reign in my heart and in the world. Jesus says it's only this heart that will be satisfied. He promises one day righteousness will reign eternal. And so we hunger. And as we hunger, we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth now, even as we know it will be done perfectly in heaven. Make this evermore our heart's desire, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.